Tax and spend, and repeat. This is the creep of socialism that Biden and company want. We saw the administration all over the airwaves on Easter Sunday, telling us how dismal and awful everything in the United States is, even though it's not. Dr. Anthony Fauci talking about how worried he is, even though 3 million people a day are being vaccinated. I mean, that's good news, right? And yet he wants you to stay so concerned and live in fear, just like the economists want you to live in fear of this being a massive economic disaster, despite a lot of good news that's been out there. Right. But that's what we call on Wall Street talk in your book. And the Biden team has a really big book. These people want you to think things are so bad right now and we have no choice but to spend and to spend and to spend and to tax and to tax and to tax. Only guess what? Things aren't that bad. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. This is Trish Intel. A quick reminder, I just started a private group on Facebook, because you know what? I'm really tired of all this censorship. I really am. So it's called, I want to tell you about it. It's called Trish Regan Private Group. Please go there, become a subscriber. By the way, I hope you're a subscriber of this free podcast. I'm here every single day with you. And if you are, then definitely you need to join me on the private group on Facebook, where you can share your ideas and your thoughts directly with me and we can correspond together. Anyway, you wouldn't believe the pessimism spouting out of the TV all weekend long. The Biden folks, they're all in, right, for this total Debbie Downer pessimism. And this is despite the fact that we added more than 900,000 jobs last month. That's the news that came out Friday. And yet it's like it never happened. I mean, here's the head of the Biden National Economic Council, Brian Deese, on with Chris Wallace over the weekend. Listen.
But we have a long way to go. We still are down 8.4 million jobs from where we were a year ago. We have millions of people out of work. More than 2 million women have left the labor force because they've had to choose between caring for their family members and their jobs. And so we have a long way to go.
A long way to go, of course, right? I get it. It's a long ways to get to socialism, which is what this administration wants. And they might just get. They're asking for $2.3 trillion on top of the nearly $2 trillion that they've already gotten. And while they're at it, they're already telling us they're going to ask for another couple trillion in a couple more months, you know, for things like childcare and healthcare. So a couple of things. First of all, going back to what Brian Deese said on the lack of women that now have jobs, let me just point out the obvious. If you want to fix the whole working women thing, open up the schools. Okay, guys, open up the schools, because you know what? You've not only hurt working women, you have hurt an entire generation of children. And you know what? That's on you. This administration has not stood up to the teachers' unions. This administration has not acted in any kind of leadership capacity when it's come to cities that are refusing to send the kids back to school because they've got teachers' unions that are too darn powerful. You know, but the administration has no problem asking for $150+ billion, saying we need $150 billion in order to reopen the schools in 2021. Oh, only except, guess what? $9 billion is going to be used in 2021. So what does that mean? Oh, they're spacing the rest out over the next 7 years. It has nothing to do with COVID. Don't let them tell you that. This package has everything to do with their dreamboat and nothing to do with the actual reality of what we're now facing. So they want this infrastructure bill. Problem is, it's not really an infrastructure bill. It's a social program. Biden wants $213 billion for affordable housing and $400 billion for elderly care programs. You tell me how that's infrastructure. Well, Brian Deese, the econ guy that used to run green energy investing at the world's largest asset manager, says, and I quote, "We need this because the economy and virus are spiraling downward. Now's the time to act." His justification for these social programs is that we need to think about infrastructure in new ways. New ways for 2021. In other words, infrastructure, in his view, is social, and social should be infrastructure. I mean, maybe it would be fine if we had the money. We don't. This is an obscene amount of spending. And many economists, including Clinton Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, they say this thing is reckless. It could lead to massive problems in the years ahead. You know, again, I would just remind people to look at what's actually happening on the ground. The unemployment rate in the latest month fell to 6%. Our economy added more than 916,000 jobs. Manufacturing data, consumer sentiment numbers, they have all shown significant improvement. So if this team gets their way, we're going to spend a ton of money we don't have for an economy that's already healed. Now, how does that make sense? It only makes sense to the socialists, which is what they want us to be. We will no longer be a great capitalist nation. We will, if we're lucky, maybe be like France. If we're not lucky, Venezuela. Coming up next, careful what you wish for, how Joe Biden's appointment of Kamala Harris to the border fiasco could destroy her political career. Oh, poor Kamala. I kid you not. Joe Biden is ever a politician. He's fine with every bit of this. He assigned her to this border issue, the issue that will ultimately destroy her. That's next. Joe Biden hasn't been a politician for the entire time since I was a little tiny kid without picking up some pretty sharp elbows, right? He pretends to be Mr. Nice Guy, but he's really just a politician. And they're never that nice. And let's just say Joe Biden has not forgotten about the time that Kamala Harris railroaded him on national television in a national presidential primary debate, effectively accusing him of being racist. Listen to this.
I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. And it was not only that, but you also worked with them to oppose busing.
Look, everything I've done in my career, I ran because of civil rights. I continue to think we have to make fundamental changes in civil rights. And those civil rights, by the way, include not just only African-Americans, but the LGBT community.
But Vice President Biden, do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America then?
No,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well, there was a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a local decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act. That's why we need to pass the ERA, because there are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of all people.
Well, now it's payback time from Joe. Kamala Harris is officially in charge of the border. You want to talk about a thankless assignment, right? She's in charge of the border, not the president. He just put one old big buffer between this massive crisis, right, and himself. And I'll tell you this, it's a smart thing to do. Very smart for him to do, because this is a no-win issue, especially the way the Democrats are approaching it. So he runs the risk of getting blamed with the entire thing, right, because we all know it is a crisis and there's 17,000 kids now in U.S. custody. It's absolutely disgusting, despicable, shameful. And you know, he's also just tired of everyone referring to Kamala Harris as the president, including himself.
Now, when President Harris and I took a virtual tour of a vaccination center in Arizona not long ago, one of the nurses on that tour.
Yeah, everyone thinks she's president, even him. So, you know, I get it. He's over it. He's like, you know what? This is not right. This is the woman that tried to burn me at the last debate. Now I'm stuck with her as my VP.
Well, I'm going to give her an assignment that, you know what, she's not going to be able to come back from. This is like fait accompli, right? She has no chance here. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't right now. They have boxed themselves in. The left has boxed themselves in. So unless she's going to open up the spigot more than it already is and say, okay, come one, come all, we are going to become one with all of Latin and South America. But you know what? They're not really going to like that, right? Because those politicians down there, they kind of want to run their own deal. So unless we're going to completely take over the hemisphere, this isn't going to fly. Maybe the idea is you can go make her president of some of these banana republics. I don't know. Bottom line, she will not emerge well from this. She just won't. We know that she's going to get a lot of flack. And he's probably just fine with that. I mean, there's no way after going through what she will go through dealing with this border situation that Kamala Harris will be able to run for president. Then again, she could never win the presidency. We saw that in the early numbers. Gosh, she didn't even hit 100 voters in my home state of New Hampshire. Not even 100. My gosh. So the key is for Kamala to somehow, I guess, hope for Biden to exit stage left while she still can actually just become the president from being the vice president. And I think he's aware of that. And he's like, you know what? I'm not okay with that. I'm really not. Anyway, you can tell she's nervous. I mean, just days before the whole thing became official, it was getting leaked in the media. And so the media asked her about it. And here was her response.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before and I'm sure I will again.
Oh, yeah, Kamala, you're going to be visiting it and visiting it and visiting it because your boss is going to make sure you do and that you get blamed for all the problems. Funny how politics work, right? Okay, coming up next, long live Charles Barkley. Oh my gosh, it is so nice when people just call it like it is. Hear what he had to say during the NCAA Final Four this weekend. He just totally lashed out at politicians and it was great. Okay, over the weekend, the Final Four was broadcast on CBS, and there was a pregame feature about Senator Robert F. Kennedy's 1968 appearance to Indianapolis, site of this year's Final Four, in which he informed the crowd that Dr. Martin Luther King had been assassinated. And they came out to Charles Barkley and asked him for his reaction. I want to play all of this for you. I want you to hear all of this. This is pretty important stuff. Here we go.
Shared that news, how painful it was.
Yeah, but the one thing I took out of that piece was, man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart. But I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. I truly believe in my heart most white people and black people are awesome people. But we're so stupid following our politicians, whether they are Republicans or Democrats. And their only job is, hey, let's make these people not like each other. We don't live in their neighborhoods. We all got money. Let's make the whites and blacks not like each other. Let's make rich people and poor people not like each other. Let's scramble the middle class. I truly believe that in my heart.
Good for him. Good for him. Good for him for calling it like it is. You know what? This is exactly what politicians are doing. They're looking for problems. They want us to be stuck in this constant division. They want to drive us apart because that's how they obtain power. So kudos to Barkley. I want you to check out my brand new private Facebook group, Trish Regan's private group on Facebook. Download this pod. Tell your friends. Subscribe to it. Make sure you subscribe to the free podcast. And I'll see you back here tomorrow.